to the Why We Build podcast. Join Steve Wheeler and our host, Greg Waller, to explore the world of remodeling. Whether you're on the production team, design team, or managing the whole show, you can expect insights, tips, and stories that inspire and educate. So let's dive into the Why We Build podcast.
Welcome to the Why We Build podcast. I'm your host, Greg Wallach. Steve Wheeler is off facilitating this week for one of the Remodelers Advantage Roundtable peer groups. Now, on today's show, we're talking about something that affects all of us, and that's the future of the spaces we live and work in. As we grapple with realities of climate change, the need for healthier homes, and the push for greater energy efficiency, it's clear that the way we build has to evolve. But building sustainably isn't just about reducing our environmental impact, although that might be the most important reason. It's also about creating spaces that are healthier for the people who inhabit them. Spaces where air quality, energy efficiency, and long-term durability are prioritized alongside beautiful design. At the forefront of this movement are visionaries like Ace McCarlton of New Frameworks and Greg Bossi of Rare Forms, who are leading the charge with innovative solutions like straw bale panelization and the seed panel program. These straw insulated panels represent more than just an exciting new technology. They symbolize a shift in how we think about materials and resources. Now, by combining natural, renewable resources with modern building techniques, these pioneers are showing us a path forward, not only reducing our environmental footprint, but also creating homes that truly nourish the people who live. But here's the thing, innovation alone isn't enough. We need passionate, dedicated individuals to drive this change forward, to challenge the norms of an industry that often resists evolution. Now, the folks at New Frameworks and Rare Forms and others are committed to building a better future, one that doesn't just meet the demands of today, but anticipates the needs of tomorrow. Their work isn't just about sustainability. It's about resilience, well-being, and rethinking what's possible in the construction industry. In today's episode, we're going to explore what it means to build in a way that's both sustainable and regenerative and kinder. We'll dive into the technology behind straw bale panels and the seed panel program, the mission of New Frameworks and Rare Forms, and of course, the broader movement to create healthier, more eco-friendly homes. So if you're a builder, a homeowner, remodeler, someone simply curious about the future of construction, this conversation will offer you insight into how we could all play a part in creating spaces that are not only beautiful, but built to last for ourselves, for our community, and for the planet. Ace and Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, Greg.
Thanks, Greg. It's great to be here.
So I'm gonna start with Ace. Ace, I want to know more about New Frameworks, the cooperative, and how you got to that point in the business.
Awesome. Yeah, happy to talk about it. So let's see. We are a 19-year-old, officially, 19 and a half at this point, I think, almost 20-year-old, worker cooperative. We are based in Vermont, and we have spent our whole career focused on how to bridge between green building and what is sort of commonly known as natural building, and bring those together in a way that moves our industry and climate solutions forward. So we are really excited to be focused on offering a kind of prepackaged solution to the mainstream industry for plant-based and carbon-storing products like straw. So straw structurally insulated panels is our biggest project lately that we're excited to talk about. And we are also a multiracial, multigender, many immigration status presence in our company. Everybody is a member and an owner. So that's who we are.
Now, Greg, tell me about Rare Forms.
Sure. So Rare Forms is a bit younger. I started the company in early 2020 after spending a number of years really learning high-performance building and wanting to start something that could push, you know, push more towards natural building, you know, integrate high-performance in natural building, and also be really values and mission-driven and, you know, integrating triple bottom line practices. And, you know, kind of started out with just me in one project. And in the last 4.5 years, we've grown to 9 people. And in the last year and a half, maybe, you know, since Ace and I started really talking about the seed program, you know, long before it was had a name, but you know, I've been really excited about straw structurally insulated panels, I guess, going back to 2019. Ace and Chris and Jacob's keynote speech at the NESE Building Energy Boston conference, and that really set me down a path that I'm still on.
Well, I've heard that speech, and it was a legendary moment in NESE history for sure.
Yes, it
Now,
was.
Ace, tell me more about, we're going to really get into the straw panel part of this, but tell me more about some of the other earth-friendly type materials that New Frameworks likes to use.
We are really focused on not only sort of local and regional materials that are indigenous to this place that we find ourselves in, which is perfect for Indigenous Peoples Day. So we like to use clay, different kind of sands. We use lime, which is actually quarried right here just to the south of us by about 20 minutes. And limestone can be either ground into sand or used as a binder when it is fired as an active lime. So we make clays, or I'm sorry, we make plasters out of those things, as well as things like occasionally earthen floors or other aspects of mineral finishes, mineral-based finishes. And then we also use local wood. We love, we're here in the Northeast. There's awesome wood species that we can regeneratively harvest from our forests when we manage them well. And so we use, local wood, straw, which is of course a byproduct of agriculture. So we're feeding people, we're making bread locally, and then we're using straw in our walls. Trying to think other things. Natural oils, in terms of our finishes, we like to use very non-toxic and plant-based oils. That captures a lot of it. In terms of materials.
Now, 19 and a half years ago, when this all got started, what was the driving force behind going natural?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, really, the main thing for me was that I started out in conventional construction trades. I was in the Bricklayers and Allied Crafts Workers Union in the San Francisco Bay Area in California. And I got to experience a lot of commercial construction and what was considered, just a standard practice at that time, which was sort of the late 90s, early 2000s. And a lot of what I saw was great. I loved, I fell in love with the industry. I fell in love with the craft. I fell in love with the work. And I also saw a lot of waste, and I saw a lot of exposure to, toxic chemicals, a lot of plastic waste, a lot of just an aspect of the craft that felt like it didn't do us justice. It felt like we could do a lot better, both by ourselves as the workers and the people being exposed to the materials, as well as the occupants and homeowners later, being exposed to it in terms of health effects. And then also just in terms of the, both downstream and upstream of the material creation in terms of the planet. We all love where we live. We all want to be able to fish, swim, all the things in our world. So watching what was happening with a lot of plastic waste, kind of again, up and downstream, I figured we could do better. I was very fortunate to meet a young woman when I moved to Vermont who was a contractor who was building with natural materials. And she actually brought me onto her crew, and I was able to experience firsthand, cutting and raising a timber frame from locally harvested wood, installing straw bales around that timber frame, mixing and applying clay and lime plasters to those straw bale walls, and many other kind of natural material methods that we used on that project. And I'm really proud to say that that project that was my sort of first exposure to the work is doing beautifully. Our company, New Frameworks, is continuing to be able to be available to the owners for questions and whatever. We recently did a site visit, and everything is in beautiful shape, and the owners are really enjoying it. That was actually 23 years ago. That was before I actually started New Frameworks. It was that exposure to the joy of what it felt like to work with those materials in contrast to when I was working on commercial construction, where I realized that we could apply these skills that we love, the masonry trades, timber work, framing, all of these, roofing, flooring, tile, all of these elements could be even more joyful and enjoyable when we get to work with materials that feel good and that connect us to where we live, and can also be very durable in the long run. So that was really what kind of turned my heart in that direction and my work.
All right, so tell us more about the seed panel program.
So the seed panel program is a small scale distributed manufacturing collaborative. So lots of small companies working with local materials, local resources as a means for us to scale this building type, building solution without any one of us growing large and shipping our product all over the country or the world. You know, again, with that, like good, better, best, you know, it's the best option, we believe, you know, in terms of driving down the embodied carbon of our buildings and supporting local economies and local infrastructure.
So is the plan to grow this network nationwide?
Yes.
It is, yeah. And we're also interested in going beyond national boundaries as well, to help inspire, you know, the same type of building and growth in any place that people would like to implement it. And one of the benefits of doing this collaboratively is that we can pool resources and knowledge and help to leverage the work that's already been done to then sort of magnify and accelerate the development of this type of technology so that we can actually very rapidly solve problems in the building industry and bring the most benefit.
There any other partners in the plans, like something you can see soon?
We have a current member of our collaborative this year. So there's two companies in our first kind of pilot year this year, and one of them is Rareforms, Greg's company here. And then the other is Building Integrity based in Missouri. They're connected with Monarch Architecture. And so anybody out there who's listening from Missouri or that region, check them out. They're based in Columbia, Missouri, and they're fantastic as well. They're one of our startups and seed collaborative members.
You're a builder that wants to get into this newframeworks.com.
Yes. Builders, designers, we have a track for architects as well. So the way the program's structured, there's three tracks. There's either the design track, the manufacturing track, or a combination of the two. So it's up to whatever the person is interested in. If it's somebody who wants to simply learn how to work on the design side to incorporate these panels into their practice, we have a design only track. If it's somebody who really just doesn't want to deal with the design but wants to just do the fabrication and the installation, there's a track for that. Or if you're somebody who wants to do both and be a one-stop shop in the way that New Frameworks is or that Rareforms is, you know, that's possible too, to take a combined track.
Now, you New Frameworks has the casitas, I don't know if it, prefab is the correct word, but you're building them in Vermont and you are shipping those. Are some of the seed panel companies able to do the same thing? Or are they going to build sort of the same models?
Yeah, so this is something that we are actively, you know, working out the specifics of, but the answer is yes. You know, we can and will build casitas as well as, you know, right now we are developing our own line, you know, just a different aesthetic. You know, right now we have a 600 square foot and a 900 square foot, the acorn and the chestnut. You know, adding that to sort of the library of seed panel based small homes and ADUs that any of our collaborators, you know, any member of the collaborative can use.
Excellent.
Yeah, so being able to not only have, you know, local based materials go into the panels, but also regionally specific design strategies that are appropriate for the different areas that folks are working in, that seed members are working in, those designs can be employed with the panels. And then we can all have access to them to help build them out and also, you know, not, again, as Greg said, not have to ship them around the country. So if somebody wanted one of our pre-designed kit buildings, one of the casitas or one of Greg and Rareform's kit buildings, we could get the shop drawings and designs from our partner, from our collaborator in the network, and actually fabricate those in our shop so that we can then, you know, save that shipping across the country.
That's really cool. You know, Greg did mention the infrastructure and how much impact that has in terms of, you know, sustainability and things like that. So that's really that's really cool, actually. Really progressive. I like that.
Yeah, we're excited about it. I think sharing and collaborating is the future. We have so many challenges that we're facing as an industry, as a people. We need each other and we need to work together and to create new forms of economics and new forms of collaboration that are going to move beyond the kind of old sticky models that we have from, a time that we need to find some better solutions for.
That's what I've always loved about new frameworks is your and your team, your mission is to give more than anything, it's to serve. And I love that about you and Greg. I know your company's doing the same thing. An act of service is such an important thing in our world and our society. And thank you both for doing that and setting the example.
The only other brief thing I'll say is that workforce development, which I'm sure is a topic that is very important to your listeners, and I know is important to all of us in the architecture, engineering, and construction industry, we are facing a really big problem with workforce development and with the next generation of workers coming into our industry. So I think that for me, part of where offsite construction and structural straw panels fit in is that they sit at the nexus point of something that is climate positive and is going to help us turn around our future and help heal the planet, combined with something that can be created and done in a way that is not the model of, an apprentice that works with a long-standing, master carpenter for 30 years to see every single kind of different situation that can happen on an eave or, trimming out some sort of a part of the building. Like we're looking at something that can be taught in a very straightforward, replicable way in a controlled environment that is, comfortable, safe to work in, and invites people of many backgrounds to feel safe in. And I think that is a really, when we look at what the new generation, the next generation is asking for in terms of a working conditions and a trade or an industry to come into, folks want a place where everyone feels welcome. They want a place where they're going to like the day their days and enjoy what their days feel like. And yes, getting some good hard work done and also not feeling like you're, ground down on the bottom of somebody's shoe while you're doing it. I think that something that creates respect for our working conditions and our experience as human beings, as well as the effects on our planet, are two things that, and something that's easy to teach, like something that's easy to access. We're not talking about something, again, that takes like, many decades for somebody to get up to speed on, is something that we rapidly need to be able to, again, this approaches the scaling question and how do we make this change? And I think the offsite nature of this is, dovetails with our workforce development challenges. And that's the other reason that we're very, very excited about this.
I love to hear anything about workforce development. So that is really cool. I always feel a little funny talking about straw, that it's a future technology. And maybe the idea of the panels is, but can you explain to me how the idea originated and the whole seed program formed and how they fit with the broader goals of Rareforms?
Sure. at least for me, the idea of straw bale building goes back, I mean, millennia, but especially in the US, 40 years. It's been an accepted part of the IRC for quite a long time. And so it's, we're not reinventing something, but we are integrating it into, into high performance practices, I guess, and combining that with the advantages of offsite construction.
Just the idea of how the seed panel program came together, but also how it fits into the broader goals of rare forms.
The seed program came together as, it's an idea that hatched by New Frameworks, and Ace and I started talking, I don't know, I think about a year and a half ago, about it as an idea and just having these really amazing collaborative conversations. And I became immediately, dedicated to this as being, something that we were going to pursue as like really redefining the future of rare forms. That this was the direction that I wanted to push the company as our values, the best version of our values statement. And at least for right now, the best version of it, never remaining closed to new possibilities. But, the way that I describe it really is that it is the intersection of high performance building and natural building. And in my experience, as a builder in the Northeast, I've always had a hard time with traditional straw bale building and the the climate that we build in, making that a challenging, not impossible, but a challenging situation. And so the idea of being able to take advantage of all of the multiple benefits of straw and timber construction, but do it in an offsite manner, a climate controlled space, where even if we have good practices on site building straw bale, there's always a question, there's always a risk, and we can ameliorate so much of that by doing it offsite. I believe that it is more, better practices, but also when answering these difficult questions for potential clients and architects about, fire and water and pests and all that, being able to demonstrate how we're manufacturing these panels in a controlled environment, and knowing that, documenting moisture content and density and the like, prior to delivery to a job site, I think goes a long way in helping grow the potential market for this building solution.
So Ace, straw insulated panels might sound unconventional to many people. What are some of the maybe pushback you get around the idea of using straw in these panels?
Yeah, well, I think Greg alluded to it a little bit in his last answer, which is that when we're talking about a material that people are typically used to seeing in one, an agricultural setting or in a landscaping setting, like that's where folks are used to encountering straw. Straw is often either animal bedding or it is used as a mulch. And in both of those applications, it's actually appropriate for straw to break down. That's actually what you're hoping for it to do in that setting. So I think where it's sort of a mental challenge for folks to think about it, something we see in that one context and moving it into this other context, which is basically one of a high performance building material. What our job is, Greg's and mine, and those of us who see straw as a very important material to help us bridge to tomorrow's building materials, we have to help people make that leap and make that connection. And so the way that we're able to do that, one, we can talk about the longevity of straw, which is actually pretty impressive. Greg, you said 40 years. Actually, the longest standing straw building in the US is from the late 1800s. So we're talking over 100 years that those buildings are standing in the Sandhill region in Nebraska. And, certainly within our climate, which, maybe is what you were referring to, Greg, that is a newer piece where we're looking at combining high performance building practices that are informed by building science and that talk about cellulose-based insulations like straw. Straw is, for your listeners, very briefly, the structure of straw, the chemical makeup of straw is exactly the same as wood. It is cellulose and lignin fiber together. Straw is the woody stalk-like root of the plant, of the cereal grain plant, and the part of the plant that is chopped off and then used for bread and pasta and all the things we love. The root of that is what helps it grow strong and tall and reach the light, and is very similar to the trunk of a tree. The difference is that it is hollow, it is a tubular stalk. And so actually the, hollow interior air gap, when captured inside a air sealed, vapor permeable, kind of sealed on all six side wall system, when we talk about, again, moving this material into a high performance context, those air pockets are sealed and become what brings the R value of the material, which is why we want it. We need R value in our insulation products. It's what makes something an insulation. So the fact that straw, through its structure, has tubular air pockets that can be sealed is a part of what makes it a great insulation. And it's a part of why we apply it the way that we do. We use building science, we use what we've learned from passive house design and all kinds of high performance design knowledge to apply this material in a way that is very durable and is going to perform really well for our buildings going forward.
So Greg, with these the seed panel program, and you're what, zone five, right? That's where we are, zone five up that way, Massachusetts.
Yep.
Are there particular types of building types that are, you know, suited best for this type of construction?
I don't think that there are particular building types that are best suited for this. I think it's incredibly versatile. Right now, it's being used primarily in residential, but it is just as applicable to commercial institutional projects. I think the one limiting factor right now is it's a fire rating. And pursuing like a 1 or 2 hour rated wall assembly is something that is on our to-do list right now. And so that we just eliminate that hurdle, but it is, even without that rating, it's completely applicable to any building typology, really.
So the fire thing. So I spent a while with Ace about a year and a half ago, probably the same time you were talking, and learning about the straw bale construction and things like that. And I remember there was a video out there of another company. The fiberglass insulated panel went up in flames. The foam insulated panel went up in flames, but the straw was the most resilient. How do you go about convincing folks that that is in fact true? And straw is a very, I mean, from a building science point of view, it is a near perfect material. So how do you
Great.
convince people on that? And Ace or Greg can take that one, sure.
Well, I can say that the way that I have been talking about it mostly, which Ace mentioned in a previous answer, is that straw performs much like wood. So especially when compressed in a panel like this, when exposed to intense flame, it chars the same way that a mass timber would, and then it protects the remainder of the material. It is actually, and straw is also quite high in silica content naturally, so it is a very fire resilient material. And then I think to convince people, demonstrative things like a video, showing holding a torch to a flame and comparing it to other more familiar building materials is really effective.
Yeah, I would just add that so straw bale construction has passed ASTM E84, ASTM E119-05A, which are both 1 hour and 2 hour tests. That is the video that you were referencing, Greg, that's put out by Ecological Building Network. So folks could search that if they wanted to. And that's a really helpful video. The thing that we don't have is a product specific for straw panels per se. So to be clear, we do have testing of fire actually on straw. We just need something specific for the prefabricated panel assembly. And then there is also a flame spread test that raw unplastered straw bales have undergone that they also, pass with flying colors for the reason that you stated, Greg, which is that a straw bale is packed so tightly and so densely that it's essentially like trying to burn a phone book, which we all have. I mean, I don't know, maybe I haven't actually tried to do that. I don't know if y'all have, but it's very difficult because of the density to actually get anything to light and be able to burn in any kind of a meaningful way. The last thing that I would point folks towards is when we say kind of empirical data is really helpful as well in case studies. That there's a great case study coming out of the West looking at the resilience of straw homes in wildfires. And that actually many of homes have survived quite well in wildfire settings for the reasons that we're describing. So that would be the other things I would point folks towards.
Climate change comes up a lot in our industry. We talked earlier, Ace, about all the waste that you witnessed when you were out in San Francisco, and I witnessed it too. Sometimes it's really, really sad what gets thrown away. And then this idea of, you know, lower carbon and stuff like that in buildings. How do innovations like these panels and other natural building practices contribute to mitigating the impact that construction has on the environment?
Well, we know that our industry globally contributes roughly 40%. It's like around 39, 40% of so carbon's one thing, right? Like you brought up waste, which I think is important too, and toxicity is another point. There's actually a number of things we could talk about in regards to kind of the impact of our industry. We can start with carbon and say that because 40% is something that we're responsible for. So that means, like, when I wake up in the morning, when you wake up in the morning, Greg, when you wake up in the morning, Greg, and any other Gregs that are out there listening, all the Gregs wake up in the morning, and all the rest of us too that are involved in this industry. And we are, unless we're actively doing something different, we are supporting that status quo of 40% of contributions. So what that means is that every single one of us gets to ask ourselves, how can we look at our practice and how can we make changes that support either a lower carbon output from the work that we choose? You know, if we're architects, whatever we're specifying for our buildings, if we're engineers, whatever we're specifying for our buildings, if we're, you know, developers and in the real estate field, what we're calling for in our designs and in our builds, if we're builders, what we're actively saying yes to and showing up and agreeing to our own specifications and what we're installing ourselves, you know, and so on down the line. If we're clients or customers, what we're asking for from our builders, from our designers, from our engineers, from our developers. So we all have a role to play, in saying, let's make better choices. And if folks know about the BEAM calculator, I would recommend folks to take a look at the BEAM calculator, which, you know, gives us kind of a democratically held ability to take our design and put it into a program and actually see what kind of carbon impact our materials have. So I'd really recommend folks check that out. And so I think that's tangibly what we can do. And when we look at a BEAM calculator, kind of print out result of a project that was done with straw panels versus or straw walls of whatever form. But we look at one that was done with straw panels as compared to one that was done with any other type of wall system, we get the highest carbon bank for our buck when we do straw panels. So if you really want to know what is the absolute bottom line of why we're doing this, it's because we've run the numbers and it's the most effective thing we can do. So because we don't have a lot of time, you know, folks are saying we've got about 6 years maybe to turn this thing around climate-wise. So this is a really big lever that we can pull, and we need to pull it quickly, and we need to pull it with a lot of us. So that's the carbon piece. Greg, do you want to speak to any of the other elements or want to add to that at all?
Well, I'd say on the carbon piece, you know, I think we have options, right? I think good, better, and best are our only viable options forward right now. And there are lots of good and better options. And I think that as you said, like straw is best, right? You know, I built a hempcrete project when I first started the company, and I felt really good about that. And in practice, you know, there are some things that I think make straw better, right? It doesn't require a binder. There's no lime binder involved. That's a much lower embodied carbon than hempcrete. It's truly locally sourced. You know, our straw comes from a farm 10 miles from us. It is available all over the world, and you know, which means that like this methodology can scale without long supply chains. That supply chain, right, that early stage, that embodied carbon, a lot of that is in supply chain and delivery to site. And so like reducing that as much as possible is a huge part of why we are doing this, you know.
Very good. Well, as we get towards the end of here's a little fun section. I got some rapid fire questions. I'm gonna say Ace, then Greg, then Greg, then Ace. And Ace, then Greg again. You guys don't know these questions. They were not fed to you ahead of time. So if anyone thinks that's the case, that is not the case. So, Ace, you're up first. Who would play you in a movie?
Whoa. Jim Carrey.
Greg, same question for you. Who would play you in a movie?
Oh, I'm the worst person to ask this of. Conor
All right.
McGregor.
All right.
Love it.
Greg, coffee or tea?
Oh, I am a big black tea drinker.
Okay. Ace, same question for you. Coffee or tea?
I won't choose. You can't take them both from me. I love them both equally.
All right, Ace, last one. Favorite nonfiction book?
Ooh, nonfiction. That's good. I think right now, I love it. It's gone entirely out of my head. Creating Sweetgrass is my favorite book right now.
What's it called?
Braiding sweetgrass.
Okay. Greg, same question for you.
Say maybe Murakami book like IQ 84 or is that in it? Yeah. Terrible remembering these things, but yeah. Really any Murakami book for
Okay.
nonfiction. Or sorry, you said nonfiction. Actually, nonfiction, wherever you go, there you are.
Okay. Well, for both of you, there's only one correct answer, and it was The Natural Building Companion by Ace and Jacob. So
Oh,
I will figure out what the consolation prize is.
can't
So
believe we failed that
I didn't know that was the answer until I started asking the question, to be totally honest with you. But that's
test,
an excellent book if anyone's interested in, and you can find it somewhere. I had to get mine from a used library or something. I found it in Ridgefield, Connecticut. So
Greg. It is
I
hard to
know it's
find
out of
these
print.
days.
We need to do a reprint and like an update. That's we'll put it on the to-do
Absolutely. Well, listen, I
list.
want to thank you both for spending a little time with me today. I am so excited about the seed panel program, and you both know that I have been fans of what you all do for such a long time, and it just means a lot to me that you came on today and were able to share a little bit about what you've got going on.
Thank you so much, Greg. And if anybody's interested in the Seed Network and joining the Seed Collaborative, please be in touch and take a look at our website. We'd be happy to talk with you about it and have you join the movement.
How can we find that, Ace?
It's on right now. It's on our website, on New Framework's website. We have advocacy page, so you navigate to the advocacy page, and the Seed Network is the first thing that pops up.
Greg, any last bits?
No, thank you so much for having us. It's really a pleasure and an honor.
You guys have taken on a lot. You're trying to do a lot of things, and I appreciate all the effort that you give. So thank you very much.
Thank you,
Thanks,
Greg.
Greg. Thanks for Marlowe's advantage.
That's it for this episode of the Why We Build podcast. We hope you found something valuable to take back to your team. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Please send in your ideas for future episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. If you want more information about our roundtables program, production manager groups, design manager groups, consulting services, or any of the Remodelers Advantage offerings, please visit remodelersadvantage.com or email Greg at remodelersadvantage.com.